Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Ches. We're holding the final line of Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins, Ela Cheiko Ama Begoiva. What is this all about? You remember we had a pasuk in Yecheskel. We started that pasuk back on Tzadik Zayin Amid Aleph, the last two lines on the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara there, Rav Yochanan brought this pasuk to show that the Machloikis, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, vis-a-vis the size of the amos of the kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, whether it was what we call standard amos of six tvachim, what the Gemara refers to as an amma beinanis, according to Meir, that was the key amma of six tvachim as we are used to. Well, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, that many of the items in the Beis HaMikdash were in fact measured by amos of five tvachim. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan said both of them are based on a pasuk, and the pasuk begins two lines from the bottom of Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. The Eila Midrei Samizbeach. How are you going to measure the Mizbeach? We're going to measure it by amois. What size of the amma? It's going to be an amma which consists of amma v'toifach. Amma v'toifach means the amma of five tvachim plus another tefach, and therefore it'll add up to six tvachim altogether. So therefore the Mizbeach Oila, that huge Mizbeach that they had in the Chotzer, it was so tall, 10 amas, you had to have a kevish, a ramp to get to the top, that Mizbeach was typically an amos of amavatoyach, meaning of six amas. However, the Mishnah tells us, or the Pasuk tells us at the top of Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, but there were three exceptions to the rule vis-a-vis that big Mizbeach Oila. Exception number one was Cheiko Amma. Cheiko Amma, the Gemara said, means the Yesoid. Yesoid is the base of the Mizbeach. Then the Amma Roichev. Amma Roichev means the Soivev, where the Kahanim would walk around on the top, basically or mainly for two purposes. Number one, for the Mitzvah of the Oilas Oif, which happens, has to be done Lamala, Mechuta Sikra, Ayin, Oilas Oif, Lamala, as well as the carbon chatas behema, where you had to go and dab each one of the four kronos on the top. So instead of going up the kevish, you could go on the soivev and go and put the dam on all of those four corners. And that's why it was called the soivev, arum and arum, the mizbeach. And ugvul el svasa soivev, zeres echad, that was referring to the kronos, that those kronos were also ba'amma ba'as chamisha tochim. And finally, v'zeh gava mizbeach, by the way, the kleinchige mizbeach, the mizbeach hazov, which was in the Hechel, was also an amma bas chamisha tvach. Anyway, for purposes of our Gemara, for purposes of the final line, we were struggling yesterday figuring out what does it mean that those three aspects of the big mizbeach oila, that is, the cheiko amma, which is referring to the yesoid, the amma roich, which is referring to the soidev, and the Gvulas Vasa Sabev, which is referring to the Koranois, that those were a small Amma, not an Amma of six Tvachim, an Amma of five Tvachim. Was that referring to the Goiva, the height, or was it referring to the width or the length of that particular one of those three? The Cheikah Amma, the Amma Roichev, or the Koranois at the top? And the Gemara had three answers yesterday, and the Gemara was Docha all three. So there, finally, we're up to the final line of Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. Ella, says Gemara, I'll tell you exactly what it was. Cheika Amma, everybody please put yourselves on mute. Thank you. Ella, Cheika Amma. Cheika Amma, again, is referring to the Yesoi down below. That was Begoiva. In the height of that Yesoid, it was not six Tvachim tall, it was five Tvachim tall. Even though it was an Amma. It was an Amma Bas Chamisha Tvachim. Similarly, the Amma Roichav is now referring to the Sovev. That was also one Amma of five Tvachim, but not Begova, but in the width, in the Knisa. Knisa means in the indentation, in the recession. So therefore, we're not talking about the Goiva over there, we're only talking about the Knisa, the Roichav. And finally, the Gvul.
Yesterday, that's like 20. If it's 20 inches, yeah, and it's raining out, it's going to be a very slippery situation there.
In other words, you're saying the coin should be very careful.
Yeah,
I'm with you 100%.
Especially the barefoot.
Yeah. Exactly. And continuing on, Gvul al Svasa Sovet is referring to the Koronos. Here too, it's Begoiva. the height. So that was not a height of 6 tvachim, it was a height of 5 tvachim.
Were they square, those chronos, or were they...
Absolutely square.
So they weren't taller than they were wide. They were...
Now you're talking about cubic.
Cube.
Thank you. Yeah, think, were they cubic? That's my question.
It's a very good question. The question is not only asked, but it's addressed immediately as we start today's daf. And what the Gemara says is, Lagabi, those chronos, even though we just said, in the height, it was 5 tzvachim, but in terms of the knisa, that's the width or the length, loishna hachi, v'loishna hachi, it really makes no difference. That's the top Rashi. See the top Rashi, loishna hachi, kloimar, knisos in the kronos, iboy lamei menami ba'amba bas chomesh, loich baslan, it doesn't bother us, kimi the knisos, yisoy ba'amba bas sheish, loiposh le ben keren le keren. In other words, bottom line is, when we're talking about the chronos, for sure, for purposes of this final teretz, the goiva was that of 5, but as whether the knisa was 5 or 6, it doesn't make a difference for our purposes. So now, Zot Yimara, how does this all work out? Lemaisa, you're saying this is the final teretz. No, how does it work? Zot Yimara, Mizbeach Kahamahava. How tall was the Mizbeach altogether? Chamshin v'temanya. 58 tvachim. How do we get to 58 tvachim? I'm sorry, once again. 60 minus 2. They'll already solve the issue. Thank you very much. You solved the question. Normally you would say that there was 10 amis tall. 10 amis tall, each am is normally 60. 6 tvachim. 6 times 10 is 60. But says Bill, but two of them we said now are shorties. One is the Yesoid, one is the Karami. So we're down to 58. Very good. Zok Timara, Palgin the Mizbeach Kamahava. How much is half of 58? Come on, all of you great math scholars. It's Esrim Etisha. It's 29, right? 2 times 29 is 58. Why do I care about where was the midpoint of 58, which is 29? Because the Chutta Sikra, we're on top of the Chutta Sikra, and you can go and do the Zrika of those which are the Elyonim, but you could not do the Zrik of those which are the Tachtonim. What are the Ezronim? The Elyonim, as we said before, you have the Oilis Oif Lamala, and you have the Chattis Behem on the top. Good. So Zok to Yomara. So Mikronis V'ad Soiviv Kamahava. Let's assume that the coin is now walking on the Soiviv, and it's not raining, and it's not slippery, and everything is good, Baruch Hashem. So how much distance is there from the very top of the Keren until where he is standing on the Soiviv? So remember, the Soiviv starts from the ground. It starts at Amun number 6, which means from the Soiviv until the top of the Mizbeach, before you get to the Kronos, you get to the flat part of the Mizbeach, that's 3 Amas. You add the Keren as one more Amas, it's 4 Amas altogether. So normally you would say 4 Amas. In terms of Tvachim, it's 24 Tvachim. But we just said now that the Keren was a shorty. It was only 5. So therefore we only have 23 tvachim. So where he is standing on the Soiviv, all the way to the top of the Keren, there's 23 tvachim above. Okay, so now going further down below where he is standing, to get to the Chutta Sikra, to get to the midpoint, that would be 6 more tvachim. Why? Because we just said, no, half of 58 is 29. So where he is standing at 23, look to Yomara, 23 tvachim from the Kronis until the Seidid. So, kama botzel apalgei de mizbeach. How much is missing? In other words, how much do you have to deduct from 29 to get to 23? You have to go and deduct. Shita, 6. So that means that when he is standing on top of the Seidid, if he wanted to, in theory, he could do the mitzi hadam against the wall instead of doing it standing up. Or he could bend down. He'd have to be very acrobatic, but he could theoretically bend down and he can go and apply the blood below him up to 1 amma, meaning up to 6 tvachim. If he went 7 tvachim, then he'd be taking the elyonim and be applying them lamata. That would, of course, be possible. And therefore, says Yomar Tanan, that's what we learned in Masechtas Midos. If that Kohen is going around the Soiviv, if he decides to do something acrobatic, instead of just standing there and doing a mitzi adam against the wall of Mizbeach, he could bend over and it would still be ksheira, it would still be kosher. Okay, so with this cheshbon, it works out very nicely, how we have the cheika amma, the amma roichiv, and the gevula, that 2 out of those 3 were Begoiva, they were shorties, they were amabas, chamisha tvachim, and one of the three, which was the sovev, we're talking about the knisa, the roichav, as opposed to the height. And the Gemara says, don't think that this is, happens to be a doichik tikka pshat. This pshat is meduyuk heitev in the pasuk. Why? Dekanami tachsev. Cheka ama, va'ama roichav. Shema amina. In other words, why doesn't the pasuk say cheka ama, v'hasovev? Why does it say cheka ama, v'ama roichav? Cheka ama is referring to the soy down below. The amaroichav is telling you that the soyviv up above, we are not measuring with a 5 tvachim ama in the height, but in the roichav, in the knisa, in the width. Oh, it's takamaduyaketev, that there's a difference between that cheka ama and the amaroichav shemamina. So with this, we have concluded that whole shtickle, and we had altogether 4 different possible constructions of the mizbeach. The first 3 we were doche, and this final pshat works out nicely. Now, Frank Dimar, yes?
Yes, why did the Kohen have to go with the latch to do the Chatas wife, which is more difficult? He has to bend in a very narrow area he could fall down. Why didn't he do it from the ground or from the...
You could reach it from the ground.
Okay, so let's discuss that. First of all, you said initially chatas oif. I think you meant the oilas oif. The oilas oif. Okay, no problem. So oilas oif has to be. We don't have enough dam in this small little oif to warrant doing a zrika. So therefore, the Torah says you have to do a mitzvah. Mitzvah, that means you go and take the neck area and you give a kvetch with your finger, with the thing against the wall, and a drop of dam comes out, and then you yoitze the whole zrikas of dam when it comes to oides oif. Now, the oides oif, the Torah tells us, has to be done lamala. Lamala means lamala michut hasikra. So if you were standing on the ground of the azara, unless you were a huge, huge kohen, you would not be able to do the mitzvah hadam, because 5 amas from the ground means 10 feet. To get to above 10 feet and do a mitzvah hadam, you need a ladder. So they didn't have the ladder. I'm sorry?
5 meters we are talking about.
5 meters? Okay, yeah. I'm not sure that's exactly the cheshbon. I thought that they're
Five meters is much more, it's 15 feet. It's
okay, I'm under the impression that a meter is something like 39 inches, which is 3 feet, and therefore if it's 5 meters, you're talking about 15 feet. Here we're talking about the equivalent of 10 feet, because the Mizbeach was 10 amos tall, and the halfway point is 5 amos. And amma, according to, they say, B'Shem B'Chazoydish, that it's 2 feet per amma. So 2 times 5 would be 10. It would be 10 amos off, that means 10 feet from the floor. And I think in meters would be roughly 3 meters. But regardless, the point is, you'd have to be huge to be able to accomplish a mitzvah lamala, over and above 10 feet. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have a good idea. We're going to go and make a sovev around the Mizbeach, and if you walk on that sovev, by definition, you will already be above the 5 amas. How did you get to the sovev? You walked up the kevesh, and then twice halfway down the kevesh, halfway up the kevesh, maybe 3/4, there was a mini ramp that went from the kevesh to the sovev, and you were able to walk onto the sovev. Okay, so a regular, normal kohen, when he has the oif in his hands, after he did the malika, he gives a kvetch against the wall, and he was yoitza. And by definition, he's lemala michut hasikra, because the soiviv was at the 6 amma level, and the chut hasikra was beneath him at the 5 amma level. So, by definition, just walking there, gives a mitzvah. What the Mishnah, Masechtas Midos, says, to dramatize and emphasize the various shiurim of the Mizbeach, it says that if you had a kohen who was very athletic and he was very novel and innovative, instead of standing there and giving a kvetch, he could bend over and theoretically go and give a kvetch underneath his feet on the Mizbeach, which is beneath him. But we're not saying that we recommend that, we're not saying it's a good idea, we're just saying that in theory he could do that, because we still had a clearance zone of an extra amma beneath him, where you could still give a kvetch over there. It's good?
Yeah.
Fine.
It's not so unusual, by the way. If the Kohen is unsteady, we're talking about how narrow the ledge is.
Okay.
And if he balances himself against the wall of the Mizbeach, mm-hmm. and then bends down,
okay.
then as it were, he's bending down. I was thinking about it. If he bends down like this, uh-huh. and then he does the mitzvah like this, he has more stability, so he wouldn't slip. As you were saying, Shai, the danger of slipping, whereas if he's pushing against it, he can push himself off the Sobeim and Kikasa Shalom, he can fall. So it would give him more stability to be pushing against the Kira of the Mizbeach and bending down and then applying pressure for the OSO.
Okay.
So it's better to be narrower.
Right? It's better to be in good shape and limber.
Okay, anyway, we continue on.
Yeah, you have to 60, right? Then you're retired. Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi, we have a whole daf ahead of us. Let's continue on. We are now up to roughly 8 lines from the top of the Amma. We started off that Rameyer said that there's something known as an Amma Beinonis, right? Back on the Tzadik Zion of Aleph, 6 lines from the bottom. Tanan Hosan Rameyer Oimer Kol Amoy Shehoyu Bamikdash Beinoni Ois. All of the Amois were, in terms of the number of Tvachim, they were all middle of the line. They were Beinoni. Okay, and we already discussed that besides the tefach of Sheish, you also have the tefach of Chomesh. Obviously, that's the small one. The Beinoni is now the bigger guy. That suggests that something that's even larger than that, really, there's something even more than that. And that's what the Gemara is going to address right now. So, Kimar, become Amma Beinonis. Rameya didn't say it expressly, but what is it? Amma Beinonis, and Shisha Tvachim. That's the normal Amma that we are familiar with that has 6 Tvachim. Oh, Rabbi Yossi bar Abed, Avanana Mitinina. I'll even bring you a Raya from our Mishnah. Back in the Mishnah, which you learned 2 days ago. Rameya Oimer, Hashulchan Orkoi Shnei Moser, Verochboi Shisha. That the Meshulchan, in terms of Tvachim, was 12 Tvachim long and 6 Tvachim wide. And you remember back on Daf Tzadik Vov, Rashi already brought the Pasuk in the Chumash that says Vasisa Shulchan and says Amasayim Orkoi V'Ama Rochpoi. Amasayim Orkoi means 2 Amas in the length. Ama Rochpoi is 1 Ama in the width. Then how did you get to 12? 12 Tvachim. Very easy, since every Ama is 6 Tvachim. 2 times 6 is 12. And similarly, the Reichim is only 6, because 1 times 6 is 6. Okay, that's very easy. Now the question is, so we have the fivers, we have the sixers, do we have anything more than 6? Yes, we do. We don't have 7, but Mechlal the Havi Amenafisha Mina. By calling the 6 the Beinoni, obviously there's something greater. So what is that? You Enmar and Yoyot, Sitakadu. In other words, Razal Lushim Bitmiya. Mechlal the Havi Amen, the Nefisha Mina, was there one that was larger than 6? And yeah, there was. Vatanam, we tackle under the Mishnah. Shtei Amus, Hayu Bishushan Abira. The Shushan Habira doesn't mean in the city of Shushan Habira. But rather, Rashi tells us that there was a cheder, which is bonoi, if you look at Rashi, about 10 lines from the top. Cheder echad hoye bonoi al shar ha-mizrochi shel Azara. You're coming into the Azara. The shar mizrochi means the entranceway into the Azara. And on top of it, on the side, there is a cheder, which is built into that shar, into those gates, into the opening. Umetzuyer, and on the top of that cheder, you saw metzuyer, there was a tzir, means a painting. Ketam the Shushan Abira, that looked just like Shushan Abira. Can you imagine? A very good painter. He painted a picture of the Shushan Abira, the way it looked. Very nice. We'll soon see in the Gemara why. Did we need pictures? They needed a picture. They should have taken a picture of the Kohen Gadol. Why are they taking a picture of a Shushan Habira? Shlaim. Zog the Gemara. So in that cheder, hoyu, they were, nochmu, shtei ames hoyu. The word ames over here means, Rashi says, 2 makleis. Makleis means, like, just like you have today, you have these measuring sticks. 2 measuring sticks, each one of which was an amma, but they were not identical. There were these 2 measuring sticks, and the Shushan Habira in that room. Achas, one of them was standing or lying on the Keren Mizrachis Tzfoinis, on the northeastern corner. The Achas al Keren Mizrachis Droimis, and one was on the southeastern corner. Meaning, you're walking into that room, and you're starting from the Mizrachi, so therefore, from where you're entering in on the east side of it, and now if you turn to the right, that is now the northeastern side. You turn to the left is the southeastern side. So in the northeastern side, you have lying there, standing there, one of these measuring sticks, which was called an amma, and the one on the left in the droimi also had a measuring stick, but they were not the same. Shal keren mizrachis tzvoinis, the one that was to the right, on the northeastern side, Yisera al Shal Moshe was greater than our standard normal amma shal shisha tvachim, by chatzi etzba, by a half an etzba. It's not very much. If you're wondering how much a half an etzba is, well, how many etzbois do we have in an amma to start off with?
We have six tvachim. We have four and a tefach, right?
Right, you assume that there are four. Four times six is 24. So this is a half of the, it's not a half of the 24, but it's a half of one of the 24 components, which would mean 1/48th of your normal amma, which would mean approximately 2%, right? If you're 1/50th, it would be 2%. This is 1/48th. That is abyssal me, just a little bit much. Al-Kerim Mizrachis Droimis. Okay, so Al-Kerim Mizrachis Droimis, now on the left-hand side, on that other amma, Hoyz Yisir Alel was even larger than that by another chatzi etzba. And therefore, if you add a half an etzba plus a half an etzba, of course you're going to get to one full etzba. Nimtis Yisir Al-Shal Moshe etzba. It was 1/24th over the size. So Moshe Rabbeinu's was 6 tvachim, which was 24 etzbois, and this was 25 etzbois. So it doesn't rise to the level of 7 tvachim, so it's 6 tvachim and a quarter. Why did we have to have two separate measuring sticks? One, a half an etzba, the other, a ganz etzba. After all, when you're talking about small measurements of an etzba, chatzi etzba, etc., you could go and make a mistake. Not everybody is a yeker who's meticulous and punctilious and has to be exact. Unfortunately, some of us, we come to Minyan a minute early. That's not so bad. Some come a minute late. But not all of us are efshel letzamtzem, come exactly on time. So the point is, we don't want that the workers who are being hired to go and work in the Beis HaMikdash with the structure and or with the kelim to make a mistake. Because if they make a mistake and they get paid for their services and for the value material of the material, and it turns out that they give a drop less, they could be over on the din of Me'ila. So that they shouldn't. We always built in a little bit of a small margin. In one case, a half an etzba, which is 2%. In the case of some others, we'll see in a moment when, that would be 1/24th, which would be roughly 4%. Right, why don't you just have one measure for both of them? The one that was a half an etzba, that was workers that work with materials of silver and gold. Precious metals. I don't have to tell you. They keep on going up and up and up in price. Gold keeps on going up, and therefore... It did come down?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow with the Strait of Hormuz. If they can straighten it out or not, or this still remains in clouded in mystery, what's going on. But my recommendation is stay away. But anyway, so since we're talking about Kasva with the Haba, where it's very expensive, to go and add like a 4% tax because of the margin of error of 4%, that's a little bit tough. So therefore, we cut it down to 2%. Obviously, the Umna know about this in advance. In other words, what are we talking about with these umnen? The umnen, we contract them to go and supply whatever amount of material, or to go and build this kli or that kli or part of the or the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, etc. So since we enter into a contract, they know by definition, based on this Gemara, that they have to include in their quotes a margin of error of at least 2%. But we don't want to go and put on them a 4% margin of error of kesef dissolve, because that would be quite an expensive additional tax, if so to speak. However, when you talk about chodel binyana, binyana means you're using regular materials. Of course, you're using plaster, you're using stone, you're using bricks, whatever you're using. Sorry?
Wood.
You're using wood, exactly. So those other types of materials are much, much cheaper. So to go and add a larger margin of error, 4%, nish gefelach. Okay, now that we spoke about Shushan Abira, we talk about that a little bit. Tanan Hossam, Sharon Mizrach, Olav Shushan Abira. Sharon Mizrach, again, entering into the Azor according to Rashi, although back in the Mishnayis, in Mesechtes Midos, when it talks about these things, there's a suggestion over there that we're not talking about the Azorah, we're really talking about the eastern Shar to the Harabais. So there's a machloikis among the Mephoshim, how to learn Pshat. Rashi here says, Befeish, it's the Azorah.
Was that the Shar Niknor?
Shar Niknor is normally called the Shar Mizrach, but however, that's the Shar that goes from the Ezra's Noshim to the Ezra's Yisrael.
Okay,
since it just says Azorah, it's very possible.
This is beyond further than that. It's all the way out by before you get to the Ezra's Noshim.
That's my assumption.
Okay, thank you.
Mirchim will get to meet it shortly.
It's
also Yoma, the beginning of Yoma. Yeah, that too. We'll go over that as well. But we're going to get to Midas hopefully shortly because we all have to go improve our Midas in many respects. I speak for myself, not for everybody else. Anyway, it's not awesome. So what does it say? Shar Mizrach Olav Shushan Abir, and there was this Tzura, a beautiful picture that looked like Shushan Abir. My time of woe is the reason. So Rav Chizda, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi. So people should remember, especially those that came at the time of the second base of Midrash. It doesn't say expressly, but apparently this is the time of the second base of Midrash, and they're coming from Paras. And remember, Koyrish was the one that ultimately allowed them to go and start rebuilding the second base of Midrash. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of controversy at the time. So we have to go and thank him. Rashi says, the Yedu Mehechen Bo, so we should go and offer thanks and gratitude. Rashi's right, parallel to our Gemara. Kedesh Yedu V'yiru Mehechen Bo V'yitnu Haidah L'malcha Shoytziyam Misham. We say, Shkoyach, all of you Persians, we're not talking about the current day Persians, we're talking about somewhat more benevolent Persians of that day. Oh, so to go and show them our gratitude and make us our picture. V'chadom Kedesh Yehi Tehei Imes Malcha Salein. That we have to remember, until Mashiach comes, we are not free to do whatever we want. Paras is in charge. They're in charge of the Strait of Hormuz. Until they go and straighten that out, we're going to have tourists. The market will go up, will go down. Amos Malchus Alein, that Rabbi Yisai, we're not free to do whatever we want. Omar Bianai, Me'olim Tehei Amos Malchus Alecha. In fact, it's important that people realize that there's a government over their heads and that they should owe not only awe, but respect. This is talking about the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now predicting at the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we're going to have the Makas Bechoyrois, or Meis Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and then all of a sudden, there was a huge uproar in Mitzrayim at the time, and it says that Pari himself came begging to Moshe Rabbeinu, Aros, get out of here. We had enough tzuris. We didn't learn our lesson the first 9 makas. We've learned our lesson now. We want you to leave. Why does the Pasuk say that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Parav, Yordukol Avadecha, Eilei, that your Avodim are going to come down to me, Vishtafu Leiman, they're going to beg me, everybody should leave. He should go and say that you, Parav, you yourself are going to come begging on your knees. Let's get out of here. However, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go and show respect to Paroi, and he didn't say, you're going to come, even though Rashi points out that ultimately it says in the Pasuk, V'yokam Paroi Laila, Paroi himself got up from his bed, and he ran to Moshe and said, Moshe, arose, everybody leave. Why didn't he say that? Because he wanted to go and show respect for the Malchus and not go and belittle Paroi. But to him, he didn't say directly, the Yoradata, that you're going to come. He just said, Kol Avadecha. And similarly, Rabbi Yochan Amar Miyach, I have another Rai, Shinemar, V'yad Hashem Huyse El Elio, V'yishaneis Mosna V'yoros Lefnei Achav, Ad Boyecha Yisrael. As we know, Elio and Achav did not see eye to eye. And in fact, it was Achav and Elio that were fighting, at least in the spiritual sense, on the
Har Carmel,
where they had the 400 Falcha Nevi'ah Baal, and the Nevi'ah Baal said, oh, and they started dancing, and they said the A should come down in the Shemayim, and all of that nonsense. And ultimately, Eliyahu Navi said, okay, are you finished with your dancing and your prancing and all the rest? And then he, Eliyahu, said, Hashem will Akim, and guess what? And immediately on the spot, the fire came down to take care of the carbon, of the emissar carbon. And in the meantime, all the other 400 Nevi'ei Baal all ran for the hills, and the only one that was left there was Nebuch Achav, all on his own. And Eliyahu Navi he felt bad for Achav. Here, Achav, when they come to Melech, and they come to Malchus, and Aram, he's going to be riding home on his steed all by himself. So what did Eliyahu Navi do? Vayishan is Masnav, he girded his loins, and he ran in front of Achav, Ad Bayecha Yisraela, so that the melech didn't go without an accompaniment. Can you imagine a rebbe going without a gabbai? Yeah. The melech has to have an assistant. He can't just go on his own. So he wanted to go and show the covered emes malchus aleh. Good. Now, the next shtickle is totally unrelated, and the only reason why we bring it is because it also features the same two man, the Omer, Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi. And what are they referring to? There's a story in Tanakh, which is also brought in the Gemara in a couple of places, that there is a small stream that emanates from the Kodesh Kedoshim, yes, and then it goes through the Azara, and ultimately it goes out of the Beis Hamikdash, and then it grows to be this huge, huge ocean, etc. Anyway, it says that en route, on the banks of that river that emanates from the Kodesh Kedoshim, v'aleyu, they had alim. Alim means leaves. Litrufa, Poshup Shat Litrufa means for medication, for a medicine. However, both Mandiyam Rav Chisda and Rav Yisbar Abdimi learned the word trufa is really a contraction of two words. That the alim, those leaves, were good in a medical sense, but for what purpose? Rav Chisda, Rav Yisbar Abdimi, Chadam lahater peh shulamala. So therefore, the word trufa is lahater peh, to open up the mouth above. What does that mean? We'll see in another moment. That means someone who's chas v'sholem, mute, that he cannot speak. He eats this Allah, and Baruch Hashem, a nes happens, he's able to talk. This is talking about a woman that unfortunately is not able to go and have children. So she goes and takes this Allah, letrufa, as a medication, and Baruch Hashem, nes, she's able to have, to give birth. Itmar, in fact, says the Gemara, that this very machloikis that we just said now is also machloikis Chizki and Bar Kapara, and they both repeated the same thing, but they said it more explicitly as opposed to such a subtle way. So instead of saying lahatir peh shalamala, Chizki yom lahatir peh ilmen, ilim, as we know, is someone who's a mute, this opens up his mouth. Bar Kapara, instead of saying lahatir peh shalamata, he said lahatir peh akorois, which is the peh shalamata, but here he's saying it directly and clearly, chas v'sholem akora, a woman who's barren, it opens up the openings and she's able to reproduce. Tanur Rabbanan. Now we return for a moment to psukim regarding the lechem aponim and the shulchan. And the Gemara is going to quote two or three psukim which are back to back. And the Gemara is going to say on the surface it seems to be a little bit wordy. And then we'll see why every word in fact is crucial. So we're talking about the lechem aponim. And it says in the pasuk, v'lekach tesoilis, take flour, v'fisa oisa, and bake it into 12 chalos, 12 chalos. And then we leave out some other words in the pasuk. And then the next pasuk continues on, v'sam to oisa, shtayim marochois. What happened with?
No cane.
No cane?
No cane, no pain.
Lo ye osa cane ben kremeno, no more cane.
I left it in a cab because I had packages.
You forgot it.
Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gave me the message. Oh. I started to get rid of the cane, and all of a sudden, I was walking better.
It's a gate. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
It was just a gate, crush. And I said gate.
It was just a crush. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Baruch Hashem.
That's good.
Okay, so continuing on. And he didn't call you back to give it to you, because he doesn't know who you are, and he doesn't know who he is.
Always take a receipt.
You take a receipt. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Over by the kachtam, you should take it, I not take the cane.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the Gemara. So, lekach soilis, take the flour with these oysters, shtei mesri chalas, make it 12 chalas. Next pasuk says, besam to oisam, and now take these 12 chalas, and what should you do with them? Sam to shom, eis aroina. No, not eis aroina, eis.
Stack them up.
Thank you. Number 4, besam to oisam, shtayim ma'arochois, sheish ha'ma'aroches. Make them now 2 stacks, 6 in each one of the stacks on top of the shulchan, as we've learned previously. Now, why do we have to go and tell us that they're 12, and they're 2 stacks, and they're 6 per stack? I mean, all of that kind of, you can do the arithmetic on your own. So, zok di yomar avalei nemar sheish. Okay, so right after that it says Sheisha Marochis. So says the Gemara, if it would, so we have to start with again. Sorry, Tanurban. Ilu Nema, would it have said only V'kachta Soilis V'fisa Shei Ma'isri Chalis, make 12 Chalis V'sam Ta'oisam Shtei Marochis, and make them 2 stacks, and it would not say what it continues on the pasuk Sheisha Marochis V'le Nema Sheish. If it wouldn't say Sheish, Hosi Yisayim, I would say, who says they have to be 2 times 6? After all, you can have 8 and 4, or 4 and 8. Same thing, you can have 5 and 7, exactly. Acha shel harvi, acha shel shmoinah. Kach nemeshesh. That's why the Torah had to tell us six. No, they have to be even. Six and six. Vila nemeshtayim arochis. Sheishim arochis alone. I might have thought that we're, in fact, adding and making it three times. Vila nemeshtayim. If it wouldn't say shteim esrei chalais, it would just say shteim arochis, sheishim arochis. Easy oimer. Sholosh, sholosh, sheish, sheish. Maybe at shteim arochis, each one of them having six. In addition to that, you have another sheishim arochis. If we have three times the six, you have 18 altogether. That's how to tell you the 12. Shtayim marochis, two marochis, and in addition to that, another marechis of six. Since the third marechis has six on it, probably the first two also have six each. That's not the way we normally learn it. We normally learn it because since we know that they're 12 altogether, so we're saying shtayim marochis, each one of the marochis had six. So 2 times 6 is 12. Perfect. However, says Yimar, had it not said 12, I could have learned Shtayim Arochis, I have two stacks, and then I have a third one that has Sheish. Since I don't know how many were stacked on the first two, probably also six. So I have six, six, and six. And therefore, he see, I'm a Sholei, Sholei, Sheish, I have 18. And it would be Communion Chai. That's why I said tell you 12. Vila Nemar Shtayim Esrei Chalis. If it would only tell us that they're 12 chalas and they had to be stacked, maybe there were three marochis, four, four, and four. That's why he has to go and tell us that there were shtei marochis, shtayim, v'sheish, and each one had six. So now we know all of the numbers. If we didn't have these three psukim together, we wouldn't know exactly what the shiurim were, how many, and how many in each stack, etc.
The Torah says 12.
The 12 altogether?
Yeah.
No, 100%.
Why does the Torah spell it out? What's the question? Why does the Torah spell it out?
This is a pasuk
in Yecheskel. Is a pasuk in Chumash.
It's an emor. It's an emor.
Nothing happened. We love you just the same.
It's a ballad. It's an emor. Shai.
But notice it starts off Taner Rabbanan. Ilu namar. If it would only say parts of the pasuk without the, you're right, it does say 12. And you're right, it does say two marochis. And you're right, it does say six each one. But if it would leave out one of these elements, I could not automatically put all the numbers together.
Torah Shalom, it's above here in Hartsville, not Dalit.
Okay, no problem. And here our Torah Oret has number four. But you have this Vav in Mechbesa. Fine. So that's
they combined into one source, one citation.
Yeah. Besides the fact that since we're putting Sheish Marochas, that's why they had it specially evolved.
Yeah,
so
the Ramah is at six. Just in case you didn't get it.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, let's continue on. So therefore, the Kachnem Eshtayim V'Sheish. Oh, Hachaloyim Yom Rekois Halolu. Until you have all these three psukim together. It's really only two psukim, but he means that the second pasuk says Shtayim Marochas, Sheishim Marochas. He considers that to be like two. Anyway, Loy Laman. So Hakeitzet Salamaisa, what is it? Hakeitzet Noisin Shtayim Marochas, Sheish, Sheish. And that adds up to 12 altogether. What happens if in Nosan Achashel Arba, the Achashel Shmoida, this guy is up to Ibrahim Savernik, instead of doing six and six, he did four and eight. Loyotzer. No good. Kid, that will not be Makadish to Lechem. No good. Shtayim Shal Sheva Sheva. What happens if you added, you made seven and seven? Kala Moisev Gerea, right? Kal Yasa Kenotel Dami.
Yes.
Rabbi Oime, Roivis Al Yoine Kilo Eina. Says Rabbi, we'll just ignore it. Because the important thing, I have to have stacked six, one next to the other, another six. You put more on top, but just ignore that.
Where would you put the Bezichin according to Rabbi Hood?
That's the Gemara's Kashim. Pray to Rabbi Be'ina Menasata Al. It says, Menasata Al HaMarechis. This is number five, and yours is probably Zion. Menasata Al Marechis Levoy Nezaka. How are you going to put on top the Marechis Levoy Nezaka? Because then it's going to be on top of seven instead of top of six. Won't there be a Chatzitza with number seven in between? Amri Rav Chizda Rav Nuna. The Amri Rav Nuna Rav Chizda. Rabbi Letamai, Rabbi goes Lishita Asoi. What did Rabbi hold? The Omer Al is the Samuch. It doesn't have to be on top, it's next to it. The Sani, we learned the Sani said in the Brisa, Rabbi Omer, Menasat al Merech is Levoy Nezaka. Al means Besamuch. I tell you, Al Besamuch, Yen El Al Mamish, maybe means Taka on the top. Kishu Omer, Sakois al Oren, Es HaParoiches. That you go and cover over the Oren with a Paroiches. Have the Omer Al Besamuch. You don't cover over the Oren with a Paroiches. You put on the Oren, you put the Kapoiris, which is those two angels, or angelic figures, on top of the oren, the lid, and then with the kisei oren together with the kapoides. Where was the parochus? The parochus was mavdil between the kodesh and the kodesh kadosh. Yeah, sure. So he didn't put the parochus on top of the oren. So what is this lashon v'sakoi al oren? Al b'samu means right next to it. Oh, and as we'll see anymore in a moment, it was so next to it that the badi oren stuck out. Ah, so that's what we mean. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Yeah, what's up to you?
It poked.
It poked, right. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Yes, yes, we're going to talk about it.
The Devere was considered...
I'm sorry. Yeah. Going, trying to move ahead.
Yes, I can tell.
Where's the Devere?
With the cane, we're going more quickly. Devere is another name for the Kodesh Kedosh. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so therefore the word Al is Laftafka. We had this same Gemara back in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah didn't bring this right. The Gemara brought the right over there of Abishol says, V'olav Mati Menashe. Olav Mati Menashe doesn't mean that Menashe was on piggyback on top of other Shvatim. It was next to it, the Olav. It holds me Olav. So therefore you don't have a problem of the... And you ask, what about the Kunit Yadam and Yama that means Taka Al on top? Okay, or if you find other Mandiyamrim, they will hold that Einachanami 7 is Taka Dishkit. Only this Mandiyamra, Rabbi says, Roynus El Yonikil Eina. The others would hold that it's Moisev Garein, it's Chotzitz, and you've got to take it out.
The Bezichin are on the 7th, and it's Minbamin and Chotzitz, so it's.
Your question is, what's. Okay.
But then you'd have more kind of, you'd have more of those rods. When you have 14, you'd have to have extra.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so let's continue on. Tana Rabban.
According to Yehuda, if you did according to Rameh and put it on the Shulchan itself, so you would be Yosef, you can't, notice there, he says, Dafka has to be. Al on top of
so according to that man, what was the Moris Kasha? Right, you know, Venasata Al says Rashi, isn't it a chatzitza between you're supposed to put it on top of the lechem, you're putting it on top of
something.
That's what the Moris is suggesting. Okay. So the Moris is saying,
it's because not Makash Bezichin. If they're not in the right place, not, the name of Kedusha is a goof.
Okay, whatever. The
Magashir's
getting annoyed here.
We're getting off on things which are not necessary. So let's go back. It's a long enough daf without getting, going astray. Sakoi Zalarnas, Broich, we just said that. Kol HaKelim Shev HaMikdash. What did we talk about that? Okay, so we spoke about the Kol HaKelim Shev HaMikdash, about the various, the Shiurim, and now we're going to what was the direction of where the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Oroin, etc. were standing, the Beis HaMikdash, where they east to west, or the north to south, and that's going to be the discussion. Tana Rabban, Kol HaKelim Shev HaMikdash, all the Kelim of HaMikdash, Orkon, the Orkoi Shel Bayis. Now the Orkoi Shel Bayis means that you entered into the Beis HaMikdash from the eastern wall, from the Mizrach side, the Shara Mizrach, and you went towards the Kodesh Kadoshim, if you kept on going straight, and that was ultimately in Marav side. Okay, so now, if you had, for instance, the Shulchan, the length of the Shulchan, which we said until now was 2 Amis, and either 12 Tvachim or 10 Tvachim, so that was the Orech, how did it stand? Its length stood towards the Orech, meaning from east to west. Mm-hmm. The only exception to the case was Chutzmi Oroin, She'orkoi L'rochboi Shel Bayis. There, the length of the Oroin was to the width of the Kodesh Kedoshim where it stood. And the Kachoye Munach, the Kachoye Badim Menachem. And that's how it stood there, and that's how its Badim, the two extending bars that come out of it.
The stabs.
The stabs, okay, want to call it stabs, fine.
Staves.
Staves, well, on staves.
What is parallel to
staves, because it has an E.
Okay, so now, what is this all about? My karma, hoki karma. Kach hoye munach. You know why the oroin was different than the shulchan and the menorah, that it was roichav the oirach, or oirach the roichav, was because with the bad of kach hoye munach. It's because the badim had to go and stick out and poke out from the Kodesh Kedoshim into the Kodesh. So now, what exactly, how does this look? So this is not it's a beautiful picture, but it's not that easy to go and follow in terms of how it looks. I'm sure you do. Yeah, you have it there? Okay, good. So this is a picture of the Orion.
It depends where the carrying things were.
The carrying things. He called it staves, he called it staves, other people call it bars.
Poles.
The Torah calls it poles.
Oh, the poles is good.
That's the best. And the poles had to be poles apart. They could not be next to each other. So
they couldn't be here. You know why they couldn't be here? Because then the people have to be standing practically on top of each other.
what you're stealing my thunder and
the
next few lines. It's
I just
Shelley, I love you, and that's the reason why we're so happy that you joined us today. It makes it so much easier to learn when you're here and everybody else. Okay, anyway, so you have here, it says on the bottom, 2.5 amas. Over here, it only says 1.5 amma. Okay, what's the reason why the oin had to be in half? Why didn't it have full shiurim? So the person who's learning Torah should realize no matter how much he's learning, he's only halfway. He should be machnia himself. Anyway, so 2.5 and 1.5. So this happens to be the orech, 2.5, and this happens to be the rochev, the 1.5.
And the left to right here is south and north.
Okay, so now these
there.
Two...
Yeah.
These two are sticking out of the proiches, which is right in front, and they're banging into it. So now, since this happens to be the orech, it is standing in the rochav of the Kodesh Kedoshim. Because if it was standing the other way around, then the bottom would be directed toward the right and towards the left.
So it wouldn't stick through the curtain.
It wouldn't stick through the curtain. And it's very important to stick through the curtain, as we'll see yet in another moment, based on a pasuk which we're going to bring shortly. Anyway, so now this is the length of the Aron. This is the width of the Aron. And here is the Kodesh Kedoshim. So since this is the Kodesh Kedoshim, it's from here is the east to the west. This is the Orech. This is the Rochav. And now the Orech of the Aron is standing in the Rochav of the Kodesh Kedoshim. That's all the Gemara is telling us. And now, why is this so important about the Badim? He's saying, Kach Emunah, because of the Badim, in all in the sign, we learned the Braisim. Shteit Naposik. The Pasuk is in Melachim, when Shlomo Melech is building the Beis Hamikdash. Vayarichu habadim, and the badim were elongated, they were very long. Badim are staves, poles, bars, badim. Yachlo yinoigim beparoiches. I would think that they don't reach the paroiches. Now this paroiches is the one that's mavdil between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadosh. Talmud Loima, the Pasuk continues on, vayerou, and they were seen. If you look at number 7, and for you it's probably Ois Tes or Yod or whatever. Vayarichu habadim, vayerou Rashi habadim in a Kodesh. You could see the Rashi habadim al pnei advir coming out of the dvir from the Kodesh Kedoshim. But then it says, vayerou achutza, but you couldn't see them. Make up your mind. Vayerou, could you see them? Or couldn't you see them? And that's Yimura's kasha. Right, Yimura, Tamalim vayerou. Start again. Decide. Vayerichu habadim, yochel yinoigim. Proichus, I would think they didn't touch the proichus, Tamalim vayerou, they were seen. Vayerou, if they were seen, yochel yu mekarim vayerouchus, vayoitzen. Maybe they, in fact, poked a hole through the paroiches, and that's how you were able to see it, because there was a hole for the two staves. So, okay, it says, how can you synthesize the two psukim together, the two references? Okay, they went and pushed against the paroiches from the inside, the doimen kimin shnei da de isha, and therefore they looked out from. So, it's interesting that Gemara uses this type of
imagery,
right? But it's based on Shnemar, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where the Shir HaShirim, as you know, on the surface it sounds like a love song, but we know that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedoshim, so each word there is very, very special to go and show that tremendous affection that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. Shnemar Tzror HaMor Doidi Li Bein Shodai Yolin.
Moir,
Yolin. Like Brother Yolin. Yeah, exactly. Brother Shai. Okay, anyway, Tzror Hamor. Tzror means like a bundle, in this case more like an amulet, which has in it Mor. Mor is one of the Samamonim, Mor, Tzia, etc., that you have in every day in the davening, the Mor, the Samamonim, the Ktoiris, yeah, Shkoyach. So you had like a bundle, a little amulet full of that. In English, it's called Mir, M-Y-R-R-H-H-H-H, and it goes on another few H's. Right. Anyway, so that's the Torah Mor. Doidi Li, my beloved, Ben Shalai Yolin, that it's like around the neck, that's where this amulet of the wonderful Torah, wonderful perfume, lies. Ah, so that's why he's using that type of imagery of the Shnei Dada Isha to reflect this Lashon in the Pasi.
Didn't the first base of Midrash have a wall, not a curtain?
Because I'm a traveler, that was the second one, I think, wasn't it?
Wasn't there a...
What you're saying is correct. There was an Amitraklin in the first base of Migdash. Second base of Migdash, because the height was so much, instead of putting a wall, there were two paroiches and one next to each other.
Right.
Obviously, this is referring to the first base of Migdash, because it's the time of Shlomo Melech and not the time of that. However, even though there was a wall, how did the Kohen Gadol enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim? He couldn't go and break through the wall like Superman. What he had to do is he had to open up the preches. So, in fact, in other Gemaras, it tells us that in where that preches was, there was initially a door, but that people should not look into it and steer. Oh, look at Kodesh Kodeshim. Let's go quickly take my iPhone and take a picture. So when he would go in, there was also a preches, a curtain, where that door was. So as he opened, you couldn't look into the Beis Hamikdash. Only after he went through the curtain, then you can go through.
Because if anyway. You went in, you weren't Kohen Gadol. It was curtain sphere.
Very good. That was great. Thank you. Beautiful. Now, this is a very interesting Lashon, as we just said, the tremendous Ahava Kodesh Baruch Hu has, and the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It reminds me of a word, I think it's from the Tver Shloime, which is Radomsker. It says, we just said now on Pesach, every single day, multiple times. At v'chartonu mikol am, v'haftei son, v'tzis v'bonu, v'remotonu mikol ha'shoinais. At v'chartonu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you chose us among all the nations. V'haftei son, you loved us. V'tzis v'bonu, you desired us. V'remotonu mikol ha'shoinais. And you elevated us above all the tongues of the world. Mm-hmm. What type of lashon is that? Elevating us above all the tongues. The tongues presumably is referring to all the nations. So you elevated us. No, that's at the v'chartonu mikol am. It says already that you chose us among all the nations. Right. So what do you need from v'remotonu mikol ha'shoinais? He says we're interpreting this incorrectly. We're saying at the v'chartonu mikol am, ahav toisan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you loved us. Describe to me the degree of love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. Says the Piyut, says the Tefillah, from v'remotonu mikol ha'shoinais. You can look in every single dictionary in the world, try to find the maximum definition of the word love, and you'll not be able to go and satisfy in describing the love that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. For Imam Tanu, that ahava, hafto yisanu. Yet what type of love? Then describe it. For Imam Tanu, Mikol HaShoinitz, it's higher than every tongue. So you can take out the Webster's Dictionary, you can take out the Langenscheid, you can take out any other. Langenscheid is a German-English dictionary. You take it any dictionary you want in the whole world, you'll never be able to find the full degree of that love. And that's what the Shir HaShirim is all about, expressing the affection that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. And we continue on. Umi nolan debad of lepusi de'orin havi yasvi. How do we know that the badim, in fact, were lying on the width of the orin, as maybe they were de'omil orke de'orin havi yasvi? In other words, I agree with you. It says in the Pasuk, Vayiro, Velo Yiro, they were poking out, yeah, everything is beautiful. But who says that they were to the Oirich of the Oren? Maybe they were to the Roichav of the Oren. And therefore, Vayter, the Oren could have been just like the Menorah and the Shulchan, Oirich Li'orkoi, instead of Oirich Li'rachboi. So tomorrow, this is what Shelley told us already about half an hour ago. On Rabbi Yehuda, that's impossible, because Trey Gavri, Ba'amsu, Palgalai, Mistagilahu, to have two people carrying the Oren, in the two poles, we're assuming that the two people are in between the poles, not on the outside of the poles. So you couldn't have two people in one and a half because it wouldn't fit. And each one would step on the other guy's toes every single month. Just to see again that wonderful picture. Why did I take out the tissue? I should have left it there. But anyway, Pasuk in Truma. Okay. View. It shouldn't take more than another half an hour. Okay, so we have the Oroi. Here we have the 2.5, and that's where the Badim are sticking out, 2.5. Mm-hmm. This is 1.5, so if you take the Badim and reverse it in the other direction, then you'd have to have the two Kehanim standing between the two, Kehanim, Levim, whatever, in between the two poles, and here there's only 1.5. So therefore the
B'nai Kahas.
B'nai Kahas, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So there was a Levim or Kehanim. I think Levim, right? From Levim. Levim. Yeah, okay, it's good, fine. Good, anyway, so we have 2.5 here in between, and therefore the Badim are now 2.5 apart, so you can have two people. Gemara usually says, Avra, Gavra, Ba'amsa, Yosef. Each person takes up the room of a Berecha and Amma. So if you have two people, so they take up two Ammas. So you have to have 2.5, so give them a little breathing space, so they don't keep on
Why are they from the outside?
I think that's a great idea. Apparently they had a Kabbalah, that's the way they did it. Why, I don't know. I wasn't there, they didn't ask me, so
that's a chance of slipping, maybe.
Oh, exactly, that's why you made the Sovev wider or narrower. Yeah, okay. Anyway, getting back to Gemara, Uminoluhu de Barbo Havadoralu, how do you know that you needed 4 Kehanim or 4 Levim? Maybe you only needed 1 in front and 1 in back, and then you only needed that 1.5. That would be enough for a Gavra, 1 Amun. You'd have a little more breathing space. So 2 people were carrying. How do you know 4? Techsib and Osaka Asim, Trey, Noisa Mikdash Namitre. In other words, Venosu Hakahosim, that's Lashon Rabbim is already 2. Noise Hamikdash, Noise is Lashon 2, it's 2 plus 2 is 4. And Hamikdash, the Mefarshim on learning means the Orain, which is the most Mekudosh in the whole Beis Hamikdash, therefore 2 plus 2 is 4, is good. Right. From now on, we're going to go and talk about something which sounds very esoteric. In addition to the Shulchan and the Menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu made at the direction of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shlomo Melech added 10 more Shulchanos and 10 more Menorahs. Uh-huh. On the surface, this sounds very, very strange. How could Shlomo Melech on his own go and make his own 10? So we're going to see Psukim shortly that this was not on his own decision. Kodesh Baruch Hu already decided that, and even though it's not written in the Torah, but it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to make a small Mishkan. You're only going to need one Shulchan and one Menorah. By the time Shlomo Melech, make him a large, large Beis Hamikdash, we're going to go install at that time 11 altogether.
All in the Kodesh Kedoshim, in the Kodesh in the Heichal,
which is right before you go into the Kodesh Kedoshim. And we're going to talk a little bit more about where it stood, on the right, on the left, in the front, in the back. Mitzvah, we're going to get to that. So, Tana Rabban, Asur Shulchanis Osir Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech made 2 Shulchanis in addition to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shneim says the pasuk, "Yas Shulchanis Asur." Vayanach Beheichal, Chamisha Miyamin, Chamisha Mismoil. The pasuk is the way the Gemara quotes it is not exactly perfect. Very often, Gemara has little changes. What do you have over here? Chamisha miyomin, chamisha mismol. Okay, maybe it's on the next one about the menorah. Okay, we'll see. And so you have 5 and 5, and the Moshe Rabbeinu is in the middle. The im toimer. Now you're saying 5 and 5, 5 from the right, 5 from the left. The question is right and left of what? The im toimer chamisha miyomin ha-pesach, chamisha mismol ha-pesach. Maybe means that as you're entering into the heichal from the ulam, that you see 5 on the right and you see 5 on the left. Maybe that's what it means. Chamisha mimin, chamisha mismail. So you want to keep matzina shulchan midorah. That would be problematic because that means that at least 5 of the shulchanis are on the dorim side, meaning on the left side as you're entering into the kodesh, into the heichal. But Torah omer ba shulchan titan al tzelat zofain. Torah says very beferish that the shulchan has to be on the right side, on the northern side, and on the left side. Ella, when it says it'll be 5 and 5, it doesn't mean 5 to the right of the door and 5 to the left of the door. Ella, shel Moshe b'emtza, chamisha mimina v'chamisha mismoyle. 5 to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's and 5 to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's. Sorry, Nahum. We're going to talk about it. We're not done. Don't be noivous. We're going to get to it. Turn Esa menoidus asher shleim. Shlomo Melech made 10 menoidus altogether in addition to Moshe Rabbeinu's menoidus. Nema, the Esa menoidus has zohav. Eser kamishpa, 10 like the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to do. Ve'itim beheichel, again, chamisha mimim, chamisha mismar. It's interesting on this, the Meforshim bring that when the Torah talks about, of course, the building of the menorah, and it says in the pasuk, v'sisa menorah zohav tohir, miksha te'ase ha-menorah. Now the word te'ase is spelled with a yud. You could have written it tof ayin sin hey, with a tzeir under the tof. Hey, here it says Te'asa with an extra yud, okay? Everybody wants to see the yud? Te'asa got that?
It's there.
You see it? Baruch Hashem. See the Te'asa with the yud? Te'asa. Wow. Everybody have it? Oh, isn't that
bizarre? One second.
It's under the hand, the yad.
Thank you. See that? Okay. Baruch Hashem. So now, both in the Pirush HaRosh, Rosh being, of course, a major Rishayim, as well as Das Zekin Lebali Toises, which are all to Rishayim, is a Mole Yud. Remez lasar menoyrois she'osid shloimoy lasois. So already here, the Torah Kodesh Baruch Hu planted that yud as a remez that eventually there's not going to be one menoyra, there's going to be 11 altogether. Oh, everyone wants to see that too? Okay, I have it here.
Take a picture, send it around.
Put that into you. See on the top, Rosh and Daskenim, you see Mali Yud.
I think that's worthy of a.
If you think it's worthy, I think you should take a picture and hand it over to
us.
Not your department. Okay. So we continue on. Zok the Imar Nochemul at the 10, so 5 and 5. Says Imar Nochemul the Zel Bezach. Vim Toimar. Vim Toimar, Chamisha Mimin, Mapesach, Misha Mismaila Pesach, and Kimatzina Menorah, but Tzofite. If you can have 5 and 5, that means 5 of the Menorahs are going to be on the right side. Right side means on the Tzofite side of Tere Amra. This Menorah Nechachashulchan on the left side. Elisha Moshe Me'emza Nochemul in the middle, Chamisha Mimina, Chamisha Mismaila. Okay. 21, the one bryce says, Mechatzi Bayis Volifnim Hoyu Menachim, that the Menorahs and the Shulchanahs were on Chatzia Bayis Lefnim, meaning from, when we say Bayis, we don't mean the whole Beis Hamikdash, we're only referring at this point to the Kodesh and potentially the Kodesh Kedoshim. So we're saying from halfway and further in, that's where they will lie. But there's another Bayis, a Mishlisha Bayis Lefnim, from a third of the house, meaning for the Kodesh and Kodesh Kedoshim, and Lefnim Hayu Menachem. So make up your mind, was it in the first half, or the, not first half, was it beyond the first half, or was it beyond the first third, right? The first Braisa says, Mechatzi Bayis Lefnim, after the first half, there was Menachem. The second Braisa says, after the first third, there was Menachem. Lekashe, Marka Choshe Beis Kodesh and Kedoshim, Bahadei Heichel, Marka Choshe Beis Kodesh and Kedoshim, Bahadei Heichel. What does that mean? The Kodesh Kedoshim itself was 20 by 20 Amos, Masha'in Kain, the Heichel was 40 by 20. So when you entered into the Heichel, first you had 20 Amis, which were empty for our purposes. Yeah, there was Mizbeach Hazov, but we're not talking about the Mizbeach Hazov now, we're only referring to the Shulchanis and to the Menorahs. Those were not in the first 20, those were in the second 20 Amis. So therefore, if you were only looking at the Heichel, meaning only the Kodesh, on its own, not the Kodesh Kedoshim. So you only have 40. So this was after the first 20. So that's why it says in the Braisa, Mechatzi Bayis V'lefnim Hayu Menachem. After the first half, we're now into the second 10 Amos. Oh, that's where it was. Not the second
20.
Second 20. Thank you very much. Thank you for the correction. They're not in the first 20. It was in the second 20.
That was 10.
Okay, please, please. And what happened to Mishkan and Gilgal, and what was in Noivin and Givon, and maybe
did the
what happened in Mitzrayim and Alexandria? What was it?
Do all these 10 Shulchan menorahs have breads and oil?
Rabbi Sain, everything. Patience is a great virtue, especially for doctors. Especially for doctors, patience is very important.
And table the questions.
Very good. Table the questions. But that only helps you on the Shulchan. It doesn't help you in the night. But it was a very enlightening point, so that hopefully sheds light from the night. Okay, let's go weiter. The Tani Chodem Shlisha Bayis V'lefnim, that's referring to if you're counting not only the Kodesh, but also the Kodesh Kedoshim. So since we're going Kodesh Kedoshim together with the Kodesh is 60 altogether, if you go beyond the first 20, now you are in the second third of the three thirds of 20 each. That's what the second Bryce is talking about, the Tani Chodem, Yishlish HaBayis Levnim. After you finish the first third, not the first 20, now I'm in the second 20, because there's still a third 20 to come when you go into the Kodesh Kedosh. Yeah, everybody understands. It's very simple. Mar Kodesh 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 Bahadi Hechel, Mar Kodesh Bahadi Hechel. Right, Tana Rabban. Mizrach HaMarav HaYu Menachem. The Kalim in the Beis Midrash were Mizrach to Marav, which is what we said back in the Amud Aleph. They went, the Oirech of the Beis Midrash was also the Oirech of the Kalim. So one for Mizrach to Marav. Divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer Tzofin V'Dorim. No. It was perpendicular to. It was not parallel to or parallel with the dimensions of Oirech Oirech. In fact, it was Oirech L'Roichav. Both vis-a-vis the Shulchan and vis-a-vis the Menorah. So, Frank Dimora, why, when, where? So, initially we're talking about the Shulchan, and we're saying that the Shulchan did not go directly Mizrach to Ma'arav, but it was perpendicular. My time with the Rebbe, where does Rebbe get this from? Go on Menorah, just like the Menorah. My Menorah, Mizrach to Ma'arav, Afani Nami, Mizrach to Ma'arav. I didn't know that. I thought all the Kalim were all going from, I'm sorry, this is correct. Mizrach to Ma'arav. Afani Nami, Mizrach to Ma'arav. How do I know Mizrach to Ma'arav? Because Menorah Gufa Minolan, Midachsiv b'neir ma'aravi yarech oisei ahar lefnei Hashem. V'chal dekulu lav lefnei Hashem. What does he want me to say? You see this beautiful picture of the Menorah, and the beautiful picture of the Menorah, now go and place it parallel to the base of Mikdash. In other words, assuming that I had the 3G images and stuff. Anyway, you're coming in from the Mizrach side, you're going to the Ma'arav side, and the Menorah is standing like this. In other words, you have your six... I know it's only five. I'm sorry, I apologize, it's only five. It's supposed to be seven altogether, but have a good imagination, it's seven. Okay, so you have the five lights over here, and it's not standing next to the wall, but it's parallel to the wall, and this would be Mizrach L'Marav. You're entering Mizrach, and you have Marav. So now the question is, which is the Ner Maravi? The Ner Maravi would be the last one over here, the one that's closest to Marav. Oh, so that's a raya that the Menorah was Mizrach L'Marav. Because if the Menorah would be this way, which is Maravi, they're all Mizrahi, they're all Maravi, then right. How can you distinguish between one and the other?
Nothing. Exactly. Really nothing.
So the emperor says, Yimara, that's the best way. And just like the Menorah was that way, so that's the Shulchan was also that way. Nachum Rebbe said, Mizrach Ma'arav Yim Menachem, that is referring to the Shulchan. My time to Rebbe, go from Menachem. Listen, my Menachem, Mizrach Ma'arav, Afani, Rami, Mizrach Ma'arav. Menachem, go from Menachem. It says, it's Nehra Rabbi, Yarchad, Lefnei Hashem, Mechal de Kulu, Lav Lefnei Hashem. That means that the other six were not Lefnei Hashem. Only the seventh Lefnei Hashem, the other six were not. Vesel Gadai, Tatsav, and Vidorim, Kulu, Nam, Lefnei Hashem. Then they're all Lefnei Hashem. They're all directed, they're all Mizrachi, they're all Ma'arav. You can't prefer one over the other. So what did Reb Elazar ben Shimon do? Reb Elazar ben Shimon, my taima, how does he know that the Shulchan was, in fact, fakert? It was Safim Vidarim. Call me, all right. We already said back on the Amud Aleph, that was in that, because of the Badim. Why did the Badim have to be in the right side, not the left side? Because it's 2.5 for the two Kohanim to walk in between, etc. So my Orin, Safim Vidarim, Afani, Nami, Safim Vidarim. Why do we learn from the Arayin? He says, "Danuchutz miyichutz ve'danuchutz mifnem." If I have a choice to learn the Shulchan from the Menorah or from the Arayin, I'd rather learn from the Menorah around the Arayin, because Arayin is in mifnem inside the Kodesh Kodashim, and I'd rather learn from my colleague the Shulchan and the Menorah, which are together bachutz inside the Hechel. For Blazer Reb Shimon, Ligum Menorah, he should learn from Menorah, and then we have a convincing answer. Menorah is, it has to be that it was Mizrach Ma'arav because of the Ner Maravi. Amalach Menorah, Guf, at Tzav Medorim, Ava Mancha, no, it's Tzav Medorim. Ah, Yalok, Sidi Yarach, Yisra, Aron, Avgonav, that we said that is the Ner Maravi. Everything were Mitzadad Lahu at Tudi. What does that mean, Mitzadad Lahu at Tudi? The sign of Linda Nebraizer. The Ner Maravi was not the last one of the seven closest to the Kodesh Kedoshim, but rather it was the middle one. What means the middle one? So now you see the picture here in the Gemara. This picture is not three-dimensional, so it's not perfect, but the middle one should be bent over towards the Kodesh Kodashim.
So the wick would have to be bent.
The wick would be have exactly the wick. We don't mean the menorah. The wick of the middle one should be directed.
They had the receptacles.
They were removable, not removable. And they bent them over.
Narrowed out.
Flexible.
Exactly.
But narrowed the where the wicks were placed were narrow. So
the narrow.
Good. Anyway, but the middle one. Have an image in your mind that this is directed, the fire is directed towards the Kodesh Kodashim. Here, it looks like it's just perpendicular up. It should be bent over a drop. But notice the other six are all bent towards that Ner Emtzoi. That's why the Ner Emtzoi got the name Ner Maravi, because that's the only one where the wick was bent towards the Kodesh, towards the Marav, so that's the Ner Maravi. And all them Mitzadi, that Tzeduni, they're all directed towards it, folded towards it. Okay, very easy. Nishka Kreisach Hashem. Good. From this I see that Mitzoi is the best. What does that mean? This has nothing to do with our Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Megillah says that any time a Balkori is laning, and there's, for instance, on Shabbos at Mincha, and or Mondays and Thursdays, where you have to have three aliyos, don't have a parasha only of nine, you have to have a parasha minimum of 10. So now, if you have a minimum parshim of 10, how are you going to split it up? So it's a three-way machlokes. First one, the Yom says, give the Kohen 4, and the other two get 3 and 3. Second one, the Yom says, give the first one, the Kohen, give 3, and give Levi 4, and the final Yisrael, give 3. And then the final one, the Yom says, no, 3, 3, and 4, the last one gets. So Reb Nosson is the one that holds the Emtzoi, is the one that gets the 4 psukim as opposed to the other two, and he brings Eshtikl Rem as Eshtikl Simen from our Gemara. Just like we say over here that the middle Ner, that's the choshivst of all of them, that the Emtzoi. He says also that the choshivst aliyah for purposes of splitting it up 3-4-3, Mikan, Shemtzoi, Mishubach, the middle one should get the 4 instead of 3. Okay. So do what? Mishlam Lamania Mizrach Maravine the Havi Yasivi Asura bi Esrim. That's how you could have 10 of these menorahs all standing within the 20. Elamandi Yamatov Vidoraim Yud Bechov Hechi Havi Yasvi. How did you have 10 menorahs all standing within a space of 20. So now, let's think about this for a moment. We know that we're talking about shulchanas. We're not talking about menorahs, we're talking about shulchanas. We already said before that the shulchan is 2 amis long. How do I know it's 2 amis long? Because we had a machlokes, whether it was 12 tvachim or whether it was 10 tvachim. It says in the pasuk, amisayim arkay. Very clear that it's 2. So now, the Gemara is assuming at this point that all 10, forget about Moshe Rabbeinu for a moment, all 10 of them were one after the other, after the other, after the other. So if you have 10 times 2, it's 20. The Gemara says, is it possible to go and put 10 menorahs, each one 2 amis long, in a space of 20 amas, and it has to be in that 20 amas space, because if you go anything beyond that, you'll no longer be in the back of the kodesh, you'll be in the front of the kodesh. We said it has to be after the first third or after the first half, as we said a moment ago. So Yomar asks now a whole bunch of questions, one after the other, that the physicality lechayda doesn't work. If you're going Mizrach Marav, then you could have the 10 fitting into the 20. And Rashi says, even if it goes over a little bit, okay, you know, Hayuporta, we're not makbir on it. So you're going Mizrach Marav, right? So you're going from the way you enter into the Heichel, and you start from the very beginning, you put 10 in a row, it's going to be a tight squeeze of 10 within 20, so stick out of this little Nishkefel. But Elaman Niyom, Tzofim Vidorim, Yud Bechof Heichi Havi Yasvi. If you're talking about Tzofim Vidorim from the right to the left, how did you have all 10 in a row? There you also had, remember the Heichel was 40 by 20. So the width was 20. The length was 40. So to go and say that we put it to the length and it sticks out a little bit, okay, so it sticks out a little bit, but, you know, as long as we're not yekis, we can survive. But if you happen to be now from right to left, Tzofim Vidorim, there's exactly 20. And therefore, you don't have. There's no room for error over there. If you have the 10, yeah, how can you? Each one is going to be pushing against each other. There's no room, no breathing room between one shulchan and the other. I'm sorry.
You can't get even
by. How can the kehanim get by? This is Mamish brother Shai's question, and we already said that this all has to do yelling. So this is Mamish's. It's up his alley. How would they get in? So you can tell me, well, what did the Kohanim have to get in for? They had to get in every single Shabbos to be able to go and pull out the old
lechaparim,
put in the new lechaparim. They had to have room to maneuver. Right. So they had to go on both sides, because according to one man, the Yomar, this happened simultaneously. That as two Kohanim or whatever are removing the other Mishmar is putting it in. They're like pushing it out, so to speak. One pushing out the old lechaparim. So you had to have at least two kahanim on one side and two kahanim on the other side. How could they get to the shulchan? V'su matzino hei shulchan is bedarim. Also, if you're going to go and do it in this formation, again, from tzofin to darim, we said, you can't do it chas v'sholem in the darim side, because the Torah says the shulchan has to be on the right side, on tzofin side. So how can you do that? V'su shulchan amoyshech amonech lei. After all, we said that there's 10 plus 1, that's 11. So then you have 22. Then you're bursting into the walls. I mean, how are you going to do it? Frank, let me ask you a question. Okay, so you answered, so it's going to be a little bit more than 20, it'll be 20 in Abyssala. Okay, that's fine if you only talk about the 10, but if you're talking about 11, it's 22, then there's no room, and you're going to be extending into the first third of the first half. That's what you have. You're assuming that everything was all in one line. No, in fact, two lines of five each. And therefore, you see the two pictures here on the top. Regardless of whether it was Mizrach HaMarav or it was Tzofin HaDorim, you have the five, and you have the five, and in the middle, you had Moshe Rabbeinu's Ar. Uh-huh. Right? You have that picture there on the top. It's good. Very good. Next edition, they're going to fill it in. They'll show the Shulchan, they'll show the Menorah. But in the meantime, we're only talking about the spaces that are supposed to be
full. How long was the Menorah? The Shulchan was on the side.
We're going to talk about the Menorah shortly, but let me get to that. It's Mishlaman, Yom Tov Vidorim, Sha'apir, Tov Vidorim is good. Elaman, Yom Zvamarev, Mechti, Shulchan Kama. Okay, so now we have to go into further details. What are the further details? If you're talking about Mizrach Marav, Mechti Shulchan Kama Moshech Mina Koisel Shtei Amos Umechtza. The Shulchan was removed from the wall 2.5 amos. The Amadi Day, and the width of the Menorah itself was, not the Menorah, the Shulchan was 1. So you have to have 2.5 plus 1. How much is 2.5 plus 1?
3.5.
3.5, very good. And then after that, between that first row of shulchanis till Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan, he had another shtei amos emechts, another space of 2.5. 2.5 and 3.5 x equals?
Is 6.
6, good. So now you have the beini, that's in between. Then the amma, then you had Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan itself, that gets us to 7. Ushtei amos emechts, and now we have another 2.5 to get to that third row. That'll be 9.5. The beini, again, the interval in between one and the other. V'amadi day, and that final row of shulchanis, which is another width of an amma, ishtaket ka'ochel shulchan palga di amse bedarai. We're going over the midline, and it's not going to be just 10, it's going to be 10.5 based on this explanation. For those of you that want to see a good picture, you have in the art school, you have a good picture in the English. Yep. Look, Ariel, can we borrow from you the Gemara just for a moment? Can you borrow the Gemara? Yeah? Okay. We'll give it back. Don't worry. We have over here the beautiful picture of all the numbers. Okay. You have over here
architectural.
Can you imagine? So here you have the wall. Then you have the 2.5 amas. You should have it on 98B5. Right? So look at the top picture. You have 98B5. You have
it? Yeah.
Oh. So you have 2.5 amas from the wall. That gets you to the first row of the five. Then you have another 2.5 amas. And this one itself is one. The 2.5 from one, you already said it's 3.5. Right. And then you have the 2.5 amas again, space, till the next one is another, that gets you 6. And then you have another one, which is the Shulchan itself, of Moshe Rabbeinu, 7. Then you have another 2.5 space, is 9.5. And then this itself is 10. Oy, oy, oy. So this is north-south, you see the dotted line, and it's going over the dotted line by a half an amma. Which is 10.5 instead of 10. This is what was bothering you already half an hour ago. How did it fit? Oh, big problem. On the other hand, here, it's already easier. Why is this easier over here? This is now the other direction, that it's going from north to south instead of west to east, whatever. So you have over here, from this wall to the first Shulchan, so he could have 5 amas as much as you want. He had 2.5. So let's look, let's do 2.5 plus this one line of Shulchan is 3.5. And then you have another 2.5 that gives you 6. And then this is 1 is 7. And then 2.5 is 9.5. And then it's 10.5. Yeah, but you have up to 20.
Space.
You got plenty of space. Uh-huh. Because we're talking about 20. From
how do you, 40, 40, 20. You have to go through the, how do you go to the other side?
How do you go to the other side? You
can walk
here. Here, here.
Yeah, but
here.
You have to go and walk through the south.
Yeah, you're allowed to walk through the south. It's just it has to be stationed in the north, but you can walk as much as you want. So here you can walk all over. If it was one continuous 10, then you wouldn't be able to get through.
You blocked the whole thing.
You blocked the whole thing. However, if it's 5 and 5, then there's enough room. What about the space in between? So over here it goes over the dotted line. Here it doesn't. This is the Chshver, according to this man, the Ammar, that holds that it was in this formation. It's over the 10 amas, which is halfway. Says the Gemara, Nishkeferlach. Thank you. Thank you for lending that to us. So again, Elaman the Yomim, starting on the first and second line. Elaman the Yomim, Mizrach Marv, Mechti Shulchan, Kama Moshe, Menako Yisrael, Shte Yamas and Mechti, 2.5 amas. The Yama did day, and 1 amas for itself. Shte Yamas and Mechti, the Beni Beni, again 2.5 between. The Yama did day, and then Shte Yamas and Mechti, the Beni Beni. The Yama did day, Ishtak, the Kochel Shulchan, Halga, the Amsa, the Dorim, Oyoyoy, the Shulchan, that final Shulchan, or the final row of Shulchan, protrudes into the Dorim by half an amas. So you're assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu was smack in the middle, so you have like a large H where you have the right and the left, and it was in the middle. Nah. Rather, you pull it out from in between these two rows of Shulchanos. So look at the middle picture. There's a beautiful picture here. You have the 5 and the 5. See in the middle of the Rashi, smack in the middle. 5 and the 5. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was in the middle, but not physically standing in the middle, it was just facing the right and the left. How does this help us? It helps us immensely, because I don't need to have two intervals of 2.5 each, because Moshe Rabbeinu is in the middle, right? Between the first one and the Moshe Rabbeinu, and between the Moshe Rabbeinu and the second set of 5, you took all of that. Moshe Rabbeinu is now outside altogether.
1.25 maybe, outside.
Okay, so actually, so in between these two, you can still retain your 2.5.
Yeah,
the row would be 1. The row, the other row would be 1. And in between, you have 2.5, so it's 4.5 altogether. And then to the wall, you have another 2.5. There's plenty of room now. And as far as Moshe Rabbeinu's, it was surrounded by space from the right and left. It could be either way. They're saying that we could do it either way. Just make sure that it's not in between. That's good. And says he marked it. Talmud Yoshel of Nei Rabbi, and therefore this appears like a Talmud before his Rebbe, that they're not smack in the middle, but they are somewhat removed. Mm-hmm. To look at the Rashi, Talmud Yoshel of Nei Rabbi, it's underneath this new picture here in the middle. Talmud Yoshel of Nei Rabbi, Namoch Heimenu, it was lower than the others. Kachoisim Shishloimen Nemuchim Mishon Moshe. The Beis Hamikdash show you Meshupa. Beis Hamikdash was at an angle, as we know. That's why it's called Har Habayis, because it's on a mountain. As you keep on going, it's higher and higher and higher. Beis Hamikdash Ulitzad Marav Migabei Yoisim Magbia Yoisim. As you go closer to the Marav, it gets higher and higher. And since Moshe Rabbeinu's was there in the front, so those two are looking as if he is speaking to them and teaching them as if they're Meirav. Okay, we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. And you were asking before whether did they use the other 10 for putting on the lechem upon him? Did they use the other menorahs for lighting? That's Mitchum going to be tomorrow's Gemara.
Mitchum, come back tomorrow.
Please come back.